The Royal Commission into Aged Care starts in Adelaide this morning, and it will investigate issues of abuse, neglect, as well as the cost of care and staffing. But before the commission starts, the Aged Care Minister, Ken Wyatt, has announced new regulations to prevent the unlawful use of physical and chemical restraint. His decision came after the ABC's 7:30 program aired footage of dementia patients being strapped to chairs.
I've asked my department to prepare regulations that will protect senior Australians within residential care. They'll undertake that work, and as soon as we're ready, we will announce those regulations.
That's the Aged Care Minister, Ken Wyatt, saying the new regulations could be in place within weeks. Susan Ryan is Australia's former Age Discrimination Commissioner, and she joins us this morning. Welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Now, there's a real concern that the government's rushing these laws on the use of physical and chemical restraint. Are you worried?
No, that's certainly not my concern. I'm pleased that Ken Wyatt decided to act and make sure those regulations are drawn up very soon. I don't think that the fact that we have a Royal Commission, which will report next year, midway through next year, should mean that government or anyone else should sit on their hands and wait until the Royal Commission reports. Some problems are very well known and can be addressed. And I think Ken Wyatt has done the right thing saying he's going to address this problem. It has been known for some time.
And I wonder about that then, Susan Ryan, because we've got laws in place in other countries, the UK, Europe and the United States. Why has it taken so long here to change?
Look, I think in recent years, in the Commonwealth's administration of aged care, there has been a tendency to go for a sort of self-regulation approach or a light touch regulation. My own view is that this area, as much as any area dealing with vulnerable people, needs very firm, clear regulation and clear oversight. We haven't had enough clear regulation, and we haven't had enough informed professional oversight of what's going on. And I hope those two things will come out of the Royal Commission. But good on Ken Wyatt for getting onto the job immediately.
And so who should police this? I'm just wondering how staff and family members will know what is legal, and then who's going to be calling it out if it's steps over the line.
Well, the regulations can make it clear under what circumstances an old person with dementia can be restrained. Now, that is a medical judgment ultimately, and I would hope that the regulations would provide that where it is judged in a residential aged care facility that a person cannot be controlled and is a danger to himself or other patients, then there would be medical supervision of what is prescribed for that person, and that those arrangements would be clear to all of the staff and all of the visiting family members.
That footage on 7:30 was really distressing, but unfortunately these stories of elder abuse in aged care are all too familiar. We've seen over the years many, many reports and inquiries, yet the abuse continues. What do you think that a Royal Commission can achieve that others haven't been able to?
Well, I'm hoping that it will highlight the abuse, many episodes of it. It's going to be an extremely painful commission to follow.
I think everybody's bracing for some pretty awful stories.
Well, that's right. That's right. And they will be there. But I'm hoping that, as well as the shock and horror of the bad practice that will be exposed, there will be a real intent by the commissioners, by the industry, and mainly by the Commonwealth government to say, why does the situation get to this stage? What can prevent the situation from ever getting to the stage where those terrible behaviours can be perpetrated?
Isn't the real issue here a cultural one, Susan Ryan, our attitude to the elderly, and how does a Royal Commission tackle that?
Look, I think that that's a part of the issue, out of sight, out of mind. We can't care for mum anymore. We'll put her in a nursing home and hope for the best. That goes on.
I think there's also a devaluing of elderly Australians as
look,
well, isn't there?
I don't think we've got to the stage in Australia where we accept that we all have human rights, right to dignity, respect, privacy, security, all of those things we have. And those rights do not diminish with age, and they do not diminish with great frailty and dementia. That needs to be the sort of fundamental philosophy. But at the same time, it's important to say that one very, very obvious reason stands out to me as to why these situations deteriorate, and that is the whole question of the workforce. Who are the people working in aged care? What sort of training have they got? To what extent we have professionals, nurses, doctors, and so on involved? And it's very clear already that in many facilities, there's not enough staff, they're not properly trained, there can be situations where at night there is no registered nurse, even there are large numbers of extremely frail, ill old people, and there's not enough direct involvement of the medical practice. I would like to see regular GP visits to
every
nursing home.
There's a report in today's Australian about the falling number of GPs seeing patients in nursing homes. They're blaming a whole range of factors for that. But is it time to put the blowtorch on the medical profession?
Well, I think their views need to be part of the Commission's inquiry, and I'm sure they will come forward.
Well, they're part of the system, really, aren't they?
And they need to be more a part of the system. Now, if GPs are reluctant to go to nursing homes, and I have heard that, they can give us a reason. Look, if we go to a nursing home, see a patient, prescribe medication and so forth, there is no trained person there to carry out that, supervise that medication. I mean, no GP, let alone geriatrician, should be prescribing a sedative, a very strong sedative to an old person without being confident that that will be properly administered, observed, and if any problems emerge, reported back to the doctor. Now, that's not happening generally. It might happen in some of the very good residential aged care places, and there are good ones, but it's not happening generally. So, yes, I mean, you wouldn't have any other circumstance where the person in the community was prescribed an extremely strong psychotropic drug and just left to go to their own devices. I hope you wouldn't. And it should not happen with our vulnerable, frail, old people.
Well, certainly it's an issue that affects us all, whether you've got somebody in your family or you're facing it in the future. The Royal Commission has already received more than 5,000 submissions. Clearly, people are very engaged here. I'm wondering, is there enough protection for whistleblowers, those who really have something to out in this process?
Well,
I imagine there's people that are worried about losing their jobs here.
There has to be, but I suspect that a lot of the, say, the personal care workers who are working in nursing homes are often people without very much training. They're often migrant women, kind-hearted, but find it very difficult to cope with the system. Now, I hope that the Commission will ensure that anyone who comes forward is protected. It has to be, because the people working in the places, they're the ones who see what happens every day. Family members see something, they get suspicious, they get alarmed, but the staff are there every day and they are a great source of information as to what's happening. And if we're going to get the big reforms that I hope we do, it will start and be based on the staff themselves.
This morning we're speaking to former Age Discrimination Commissioner Susan Ryan about the start of the Aged Care Royal Commission. Susan Ryan, we talked about some of the issues around staffing and GPs. There have certainly been a lot of calls for the use of surveillance cameras to pick up any violence. It's certainly something that Stuart Johnston, whose mother Helen was allegedly abused at the Oakden home in South Australia, has called for. Do you back that kind of monitoring?
I don't think by itself it's the solution. I have a bit of hesitancy about surveillance cameras because it goes to the privacy of the old person himself or herself, and that issue has to be taken into account. But generally speaking, surveillance in nursing homes I think will be part of the solution. But much more fundamental is the number, quality and training of the staff, the availability of information to families and friends who come and visit the old people, a simple complaint system that gets results immediately and doesn't wait for months for a complaint to be handled. All of these things are part of making sure that there's a safety net in case something goes wrong. And maybe surveillance cameras are part of it. But by the time a camera surveils bad behaviour, the behaviour's happened, I want to get to the fundamental causes and the corrections to the situation that leads to that shocking behaviour.
So to address those pretty fundamental staffing issues and the professionalism, you're going to talk about, or you're going to need to talk about, a greater investment in the sector. So the answer is who pays? Is it a case of Australians themselves having to contribute more for their own care?
Well, look, I expect we are looking at a greater investment. Now, for the sake of your listeners, let's be clear. The Commonwealth already invests, well, I think last year in the vicinity of $18 billion, and that's scheduled to go up to $22 billion over the next couple of years. So there is a major Commonwealth investment. There is also an investment by consumers themselves, because in the nursing homes there is a means test. And so for people who have means, not for people without means, but for people who have means, there is a contribution required. Now, it may well be that both of those funding elements need to increase. It may well be that the Commonwealth has to look at it spending even more, and it may well be that for those who have assets and means, that the contribution charge needs to be higher. I think if that is the case, then we all have to cop it. But before we get to that, I think we need to look at what has to happen. But given that I am so convinced that we will be looking at more staff, better trained staff, more nurses, more availability of GPs, we will also be looking at better pay for the personal care workers if they are better trained. It seems likely that the Commonwealth itself and those who are benefiting from the services and have the means will probably end up being charged more. But if that's fair, I think we all have to cop it.
And what about in-home care? It's certainly a model that both the community and the government finds attractive, but who's going to ensure that people aren't abused in their own homes?
Well, in a way, that's harder to do. Once you've got a residential aged care and you've got staff and you've got rules and so on and so forth, you can see that regulation should be reasonably straightforward. When the individual care worker is going into the home of a person, that's much harder to supervise. Now, I should remind your listeners that over 1.3 million Australians are receiving some form of aged care assistance at this stage, and most of that is in the home. And that's for the very good reason that people prefer to age at home if they can. The funding agencies support that because it costs less to support care going into the home than have someone in care. So there are good reasons, and practical reasons and philosophical reasons, why care in the home is the growing area. But there are problems with it. First of all, the staff who go into someone's home, they're provided by an aged care provider. They have to be scrutinised and character assessed and so forth, in the same way that staff in nursing homes do. That has to happen. That has to be clear. The other thing is that people need to, again, have a very easily available complaints channel. If the old person herself or their family members fear that the carer is doing the wrong thing, they need to be able to deal with that correctly. Or if the care worker herself sees something wrong happening in the person's home, they should be able to draw the attention of the authorities to that very easily. So those things need to happen. And look, can I add, to get care at home, you have to have a home to get care in. And the increasing rate of homelessness amongst older people or unsatisfactory housing means that some old people who are assessed for aged care at home won't be able to get it because they haven't got anywhere suitable to live. And that's another problem.
Okay, then. Now, I've just received a text from Anna who says, I wish to speak positively about aged care. My husband is in a home in Prahran in Melbourne and has been there for some years, and I have found the care excellent. Are you worried, Susan Ryan, that the Royal Commission could result in a loss of confidence in nursing homes, that the people who are doing the right thing will have an even harder job?
Look, I think Anna's contribution is very important. It is important for everyone to understand that many aged care services are very good. I know through my own family and friends and so forth of many successful services, and it is important not to undermine them. And in fact, I hope the Royal Commission, although they're inviting submissions about systems failures and abuse and so forth, will also bring into the discussion the successful models, because there are successful models, and the unsuccessful systems should be looking to those and finding what is it that makes Anna's residence that she's now said is very good. Why is it good? And I hope the Commission looks at that. What are the factors that mean the service is good? Because, look, a proportion of people, not a high proportion of people, at late in life will need to go into residential aged care. And, you know,
we need to get it right.
We need to get it. People say, oh, I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, but sometimes they have to. So we have to get it right, as you say.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
That's the former Age Discrimination Commissioner, Susan Ryan.